Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Well, you really don't want to touch this, but that's beside the point. You can't touch this. Please stay 6 feet away, preferably farther. But, Paul with you. Hope your Sunday is going well. Don't have to worry about puttering around in the yard today, although you could if you wanted to. So Friday, the Trump administration rolled out a very ambitious plan called Operation Warp Speed to manufacture hundreds of millions of COVID-19 vaccine doses by the end of this year, which would be light years faster than anything in the past. Mark Esper, the defense secretary, pledged to deliver a vaccine at scale to the U.S. and its foreign partners by the end of the year. As we speak, there are over 100 different vaccine candidates around the world. And once developed, the military may be tapped to help distribute the vaccine once it's approved. So, you know, we're hearing different things from different people. Anthony Fauci, Mike Osterholm said we'd be lucky to have a vaccine 12 to 18 months. The president is talking about maybe if everything goes well, we have something by the end of this year. With us to try to get a little clarity and perspective is Dr. Gregory Polland. He knows something about vaccines. He's director of the Mayo Clinic's Vaccine Research Group, also editor-in-chief of the medical journal Vaccine. And he was on recently, did such a great job, we wanted to have him back again. Dr. Polland, welcome back.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Well, it depends who you ask. But, you know, hanging in there one day at a time. What was your reaction when the Trump administration talked about this Operation Warp Speed? We don't want to get people's hopes up prematurely. Is there a chance that could happen by the end of this year that we actually have a vaccine?
So Paul, the real key here is not scientifically could we come up with something that might protect. I think that's a definite. We will be able to do that. The question in terms of speed and availability is twofold. Is it safe? And can we manufacture and distribute that number of vaccines in that time frame? And I would say that you can't ensure either of those two in the time frame being proposed. Typically, it takes 7 to 20 years to develop a vaccine. The fastest it ever occurred was for Ebola vaccine, and that was a little over 4 years. So you can get to a vaccine quickly, but you cannot be assured that it's safe. For example, if you want to know about an important side effect that occurs 1 in 10,000 times, you have to study almost 40,000 people. And none of the studies that would get us to a vaccine by the end of the year will involve 40,000 people.
So, right, if you're not careful, the vaccine could do more harm than good. You want to obviously test the efficacy of the vaccine. What is the real holdup? Is it these trials with ever-growing numbers of volunteers, Or is it the actual manufacturing process itself that takes the most time?
Wow, I'm impressed. Most people would not realize that both of those issues are present. Congratulations. That's very sharp. Because it is both of those issues, and I think that's been a very hard thing to communicate to the public, is that the safety studies take time. For example, if you say, well, I want to know, are there any side effects after 6 months of getting the vaccine? You can't know that by the end of the year when you're enrolling tens of thousands of people. Then you have manufacturing issues. So all of the manufacturing capability in the world right now is not sufficient to roll out billions of doses of vaccine. And of course, it matters whether it's one dose or two doses. So there's a tremendous number of unknowns here. And it's a balance, and people will have to individually trade that off. What's the risk of the outbreak in the disease? And almost certainly we'll have it return this fall. And what's the risk of a vaccine that has been incompletely tested? And there's an irresolvable tension between those two.
Interesting. Help me with something, because it seems like we can't even agree on the death toll when it comes to COVID-19. I follow, you know, John Hopkins. I don't think they have any reason, incentive to skew the numbers out of John Hopkins. I mean, we're talking doctors here, yeah. Clinicians, epidemiologists, as opposed to political operatives. So any tendency or temptation to spin the numbers, I'm a little leery of that. But yeah. Help me out, Dr. Polland. If I have underlying conditions, let's say I have diabetes and I've got a heart condition, but I also experience a stroke and I go to the hospital and in spite of best efforts, I don't survive the stroke. My understanding is that cause of death would be stroke. If I have asthma or diabetes and a heart condition and I catch COVID-19 and I go to the hospital and I'm strapped onto a ventilator and I don't make it, I succumb. My understanding is that even though I have underlying conditions like most people on the planet do, the cause of death would, in fact, be COVID-19. Is my train of thought, is the logic correct there?
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. But here's the key. It would have been coded COVID-19 only if you had been tested. And right there is sort of the linchpin of the teeter-totter, if you will. There are insufficient high-quality tests available. And we've certainly heard, for example, about people who die in a nursing home. What did they die of? Their underlying heart disease, or did they have undiscovered, untested COVID? What about the homeless? What about undocumented people who may be afraid to access health care? And so while the numbers are, I think, being counted when there is testing that occurs, there's a number of them where testing has not occurred. The other thing, and your initial question was spot on, it's only recently that the CDC released some guidelines for clinicians to use in terms of how to code, because what we do is we code the primary cause of death and then underlying, you know, conditions or issues that contributed to that death. So we've just begun to standardize that on top of all these other issues.
John Hopkins is saying close to 89,000 deaths in the United States to date. Do you think that is overreported, underreported? Do you think the actual death toll is higher or lower? Can we tell?
Yeah, I think it's higher, and I think most everybody would say it's higher. How much higher? I don't think a tremendous amount, because it's people dying at home, like I said, or nursing homes, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people going uncounted, unlike the way we count influenza deaths, which are estimates rather than, so to speak, hand counting. So COVID-19 deaths are being hand counted as best we can.
Dr. Gregory Polland, always great having you on from the Mayo Clinic. We so appreciate you taking the time. And will you come back on the show with us?
Anytime, Paul. It's so great to hear your voice. You've been a part of our family for, 30 years or something. So,
hey, who's counting? But thank you. That's very kind of you, Dr. Polland. And now you're a part of our extended family. Please give our best to all the amazing doctors and staff at the Mayo Clinic. We don't for a millisecond take what you guys do for granted. So keep up the great work, and Godspeed.
Thank you. Be safe.
You too. Thank you, Doc.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.